Jabba, this is your last chance. Free us or die.
This is Return of the Pod. Sons, and welcome to Return of the Pod, a podcast about Star Wars and more, where we discuss and celebrate the movies, shows, books, comics, games, and everything else from the galaxy far, far away, and will occasionally journey to other galaxies. Every generation is a legend, every legend is a podcast, and this is ours. I am your host, Disgraced Jedi and Force Mystic Brian Silliman. Joining me are the greatest co-hosts in the galaxy, starting with former Force-sensitive Assassin's Guild member turned droids rights activist, Caitlin Bush.
Hello there.
And the smuggler of the not-so-secret heart of gold, Captain Matt Romano.
Greetings.
At long last, we are back home on Star Binger Base, which we managed to track down and then jump to a secure location. We jumped the whole planet to a secure location. Can't find us.
Still really not sure how that's working. But
yeah, okay. I don't know how that works at all.
All you need to know is that it does.
Okay.
It's a bit of a mess. The whole place is a bit of a mess. And as Matt rather prophetically asked a few weeks ago, the planet has obviously jumped to some interesting places, some systems where it shouldn't be. And I don't know the science behind it, but all I know is now a quarter of the planet is Arctic now, where it definitely wasn't before. At least half of it is ocean, which it wasn't before. But the base and our main area where the base is and the entrance to the base and the bar and all that, it's still nice and green and lush and everything just as before. The bar is safe, which is the important
thing. That's really what I care about.
Yeah.
It's mostly safe. Half of it is safe. We'll say that. So helping me fuse together the three necessary pieces of the key that opens the vault that contains the hottest take in the galaxy is our reprogrammed IT interrogator droid, AZ-00, a.k.a. Azu.
Yeah, it's not hard, you know, fusing them together. But, like, if the take is so dangerous, then, you know, why do you want to open the vault?
That's a great question.
No, good question.
I mean, you do you, but, you know, why? I don't get it, you know.
I don't get the net.
Brian.
Yeah, okay, I don't, to everyone now apparently, I don't want to open the vault, I just want to make sure that we can, if we need to, if it comes to it, if we have to open it before anyone else does, then we can. I want to have all of our cards on the table, because come what may, who knows what will happen, I may have some other reasons too, so don't worry about it.
I'm sure what they were about to say, don't worry about it. How many times, you know, have we heard that? And then, don't worry about it. Oh, well, here's some reasons actually to worry about
By the way, the hottest thing, it's in the north wing that we've had in the base for a million years, and you were just working in there, not telling anyone.
Yeah, I honestly woke up this morning and forgot why we were after the hottest take in the galaxy.
I'm just going to join in the whole parade here. And say,
All right. You forgot why. It's to stop others from getting it.
Right.
Okay, do you need a recap?
Because the hottest take in the galaxy. We are the safest hands for this to be in now.
We're safer than the ones who are coming after it. So we have to make sure that it does not fall into the wrong hands. Okay?
Right. Yeah, okay.
And you know what these are? The not as wrong hands.
Okay.
So, as long as we have control, you know, we should be okay.
I don't know what the hell that was about, but whatever. I feel like I'm on a roll here, so I'm just kind of, you know, just kind of go with it. Are we all just ignoring the person-sized slab of carbonite that Caitlin took off the starbridge tube last night, or what?
Is that what that was?
You know,
I thought that's what it was. I don't know if she wants to say something.
You know, Brian, are you the only one who's allowed to have secrets now? Is that what we're going for here?
Yeah. Wow. This accusation's flow. That's that's not the pot calling the star kettle black, then I don't know what is.
Yeah. Star kettle.
Star kettle. I thought I knew about it.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't gonna bring it up. The droid brought it up. So anything you wanna tell us about that, Caitlin?
We talked about this. There's no reason for us to bring this up. Okay, we're moving on. We talked about it.
I decided there was a reason to bring it up, so I did. You know, I'm getting the feeling that now that the needle's turned back on you, you're less interested in what I have to say.
Look, I trusted you in that moment. That was like a moment of confidence when you came across that. So just the guys don't need to know about this right now, okay?
Yeah, well, now everybody knows, so I'll just float on over here. You know, I'm just going to go. All right. Bye.
I'll tell you that,
I've really, really grown to like that droid as much as our audience has. You know,
he's a bit of a snitch, but I'll give it to him. But
yeah. As Paul Bettany has said, snitches wind up in ditches.
There we go.
Okay, we are recording on August 2nd, 2021, and we've got a new episode of Star Wars The Bad Batch.
They call themselves The Bad Batch.
To discuss, but first, it's time for some news on the march.
News on the march.
Caitlin Ambush, what do we got?
Well, we got a couple of things this week. I think the one that we're going to start with is the one that happened further away from us now currently on the timeline, which is to say that you guys might have heard that a little thing called San Diego Comic-Con happened.
Oh, yeah, did that happen?
A couple weekends ago. Yeah, that was a thing. It's all virtual still.
Okay, gotcha.
There's really no reason for you to know.
I don't think anything happened.
Yeah. Technically something. Yeah, that's because nothing happened.
Nothing really happened, but there was something that did come out online. There was a poster that people were really excited about. It was a 2021 San Diego Comic-Con exclusive titled Star Wars Saga Size Matters Not, and it was created by Russell Walks, and it is a digital painting, it looks like, of Luke Skywalker training Grogu, and Grogu is putting together what looks to be a lightsaber, and Luke is, force holding a yellow kyber crystal right above his hand.
I mean, this is fascinating. Are we going to consider posters canon now? Are posters canon?
No.
Here's the thing. I don't know, because I looked and couldn't find anything about Lucasfilm or Disney or anyone saying anything about this other than the fact that it just popped up for San Diego Comic-Con. And I can't imagine that San Diego Comic-Con could put out an official poster for something Lucasfilm-esque that is so clearly not even inspired by, but it is Star Wars.
Absolutely.
There had to be some sort of back and forth there, right?
Yeah. I mean, if we're not going to see anything from Luke and Grogu for a long time, is like, this all we're going to get? Like, we just know he's got a lightsaber now and it's yellow? I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a weird way of showing what the color is going to be, because the crystal doesn't show what the color is going to be until the blade is ignited. So it's like, actually, that's not how, we'll let it go. But he's putting it together. I like the idea of him putting it together. And honestly, I do like, I like that Grogu's lightsaber would be yellow. I like that it wouldn't be green like Yoda's.
This continued guardian kind of thing we've got going on here.
Yeah, I like that idea. But you know what makes no sense to me about this is what you said, Caitlin, and I read this too, is that it's a con exclusive. So it makes you think it's exclusive. If you were at the con, you could get this. But no one was at the con because it was all digital.
It was digital.
So
who can get this? Can I buy this?
Were there copies of it?
Well,
no,
there was
no event. Is it an NFT?
Mm-hmm. It's from shoptrends.com, but it is sold out right now.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if they're planning on putting up any more. But it was there. Now it's gone.
But exclusive to the convention, like how? I said I watched one YouTube panel from the convention. Does that mean it's exclusive to me?
Yeah, sure. In your heart.
You can easily lie about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
not saying that I understand the logic of virtual cons. Doesn't sound super appealing to me, but I mean, more power to people who are still excited about it and want to attend and want to do all this stuff because it's fun. It's still interesting to learn what you can about all of the nerd crap that you love. And I say that very lovingly.
All of the nerd crap that you love. It's interesting that that one photo, that one poster, that may or may not be canon or official or anything, was more of the one of the more exciting things to happen.
Yes, and that in is a convention saying
that,
something
that used to be, you know, king of mountain. Anyway.
Well, moving on that lovely note, our second bit of news that we want to go over, Matt actually pointed this out to us as a potential good thing to talk about. So thank you, Matthew.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, finger on the pulse with that one.
Always finger on the pulse, yeah.
IndieWire has broke the news, or at least had one of the first reports about how a deepfake creator who's on YouTube, and their YouTube name is Shamook, Shamook. They're pretty famous for some of their really big deepfakes they've done. I think there was one that was extremely popular that was replacing Tom Cruise in the recent Mummy reboot with Brendan Fraser.
Yes. Yep.
Deepfake technology. It's AI. I really don't have the ability to understand how it works at all.
Yeah.
All I know is that it puts things on top of other things and makes it look like kind of scarily real. Yeah. But
it like tracks your face. You put a picture, you're able to take an image and put it on another moving image. And then with AI, it tracks the movement of the moving image and like applies it to the still image.
Okay.
I kind of like that. Yeah. Something like that.
I followed not a word of what you just said, but I understand that more than I understand a digital poster exclusive for people that went to a convention that didn't actually take place.
We live in interesting times.
Yes. Yeah. So we're bringing up this.
Boy, you
this,
said it, Chewy.
We're bringing up this YouTuber because it's been confirmed that they were hired by Lucasfilm's Industrial Light and Magic because it's thought to be that it's directly because of a deepfake that this creator made of The Mandalorian Season 2 finale episode, where, of course, young Luke Skywalker shows up and who was played by Mark Hamill at the time. A lot of people said that they're doing like the CGI de-aging that they do for so many things now. And, you know, it was amazing and looked very good, but a lot of people thought that it was off. So this creator did a deep fake of it.
Like
and a
it.
Lot of people thought it looked a lot better, and actually it does look a lot better.
It looks a lot better. Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting. I mean, this guy, talk about like a way to get a job, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you kind of just he did VFX that were better than Lucasfilm.
I feel like this
and
is
they hired him.
I feel like this is the VFX version.
Kind of how you got your job.
I feel like
that's exactly how I got my job.
I feel like this is the VFX version of like hackers who get arrested, who like break into government things that you see on TV, and then they hire them because they can do it better than anyone else. I feel
totally.
Like it's
that. So you're saying Mickey was watching YouTube one night. I was like, oh, hire that man.
Yes.
All right, that man killed.
That is
if he says no, have him killed.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, Mr. Mouse, we're going to hire him. We don't need to kill anyone. It's like, no.
And I will point out that this doesn't mean that this individual is going to be working directly with Lucasfilm, with Mandalorian Season 3, anything like that. But now that we might see some of the stuff that they're going to be working on down the line, and that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's fun to speculate, because why would Lucasfilm hire this guy that's so good at deepfakes if for some property, be it Marvel, Star Wars, or whatever else, they're going to use this guy for something? And maybe it could be, you know, flashback scenes in the Boba Fett series, you know, where, you know, doing a young Boba or any character. I'm excited they brought this guy on. He's really talented. And like you said, like, kind of did a better job on the Luke stuff. He looks good. Looks really talented.
Unless they're planning to learn his tricks and then broom him fast.
That could be it, too.
You know what I could see them doing is since it's a truth pretty much universally recognized that his Luke, it was his Luke built from the ground up, or did he take the work they had already done and make it better?
I'm pretty sure he was built from the ground up.
From scratch.
Yeah.
How do we know that? Because he would need footage of actual Mark Hamill on set to do that.
Yeah, we'll have to take a look back at the video. Maybe we should have had
because
that
if
answer
he's
for
building
you.
Off, if he's
well,
building off,
Brian's poking holes where there weren't before.
No. Here's my question: if he's taking what they already did, and he's like, "Okay, you did a good job. I'm going to make it great," then that's worth bringing him on, because then if he's then make what was good, if he could then make it great, what's to stop them from making the official version great and just changing it. So now when you watch that scene in The Mandalorian, it's not physical. So whenever you go to watch that episode again at some point, it'll be a McClunky. It'll be like all of a sudden. And now when you watch it, it's this great version that dude from YouTube worked on.
They're going to Yoda Phantom Menace him. You know, you're going to switch the Yoda out. Yeah.
And the thing is, they'll just switch it out and you won't even realize it's happening.
I would love that because, I mean, I we've talked about this a lot of times, but I loved that Luke showed up at the end of Mandalorian season two. He looked great. I was a little taken out of the moment because I knew he wasn't really there, you know.
It's the same with all of those.
All of us were fooled. You were the one.
I'm saying everybody. And Kayla,
what's
you know
to
what I'm
stop
saying?
Them then from going and do, and like taking a look? It's like, hey, you know, go over look at this Rogue One stuff.
What were they going to change Rogue One? They would never do
Tarkin.
Oh, Tarkin. Sorry. Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I didn't know where you were going with that. Yeah, of course. Yeah, Tark and Leia. We should totally update those.
Where the criff do you think I'm going? So if they're going to do anytime they do that, it's like for physical releases, you can't update it. But they're not doing a hell of a lot of them anyway. So it's like, hey, look at our whole back catalog. Anything you can fix. And then really, no, this guy, he's just watching your every move and recording it. Don't worry about him. Don't worry about that knife he has either. It's you know.
Long story short, going to be seeing some really cool stuff, I'm sure, continued coming from this individual. Who knows if his YouTube series will continue as well. But that is it for news on the march.
Matt, you're going to get what this guy's AIM name is?
Yeah, I'm going to send him an IM, Brian. I'm going to send him an IM right now. I'm going to fire it up.
Yeah.
I'm going to send him an IM.
Betcha thought I wouldn't get into that as early as I did.
It's early.
Yep. Anyway, with that, we're going to deep fake our way back into Star Wars The Bad Batch.
They call themselves The Bad Batch.
Now, we're going to discuss, here's what's going to happen.
What's going to happen?
This discussion of The Bad Batch. I'm going to tell you. Everybody, let's get right down to it. Ooh. Okay. We're going to discuss and celebrate the Karkin criff out of this episode. All right. For new canon reveals, we got our canon. We have hot takes along the way. We're going to sound the hot take alarm. And if anything really blew our minds, we're going to let loose with a seismic mind charge. All right. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
We know this. This episode has only been out for a few days, and we don't want to spoil you for any of it. So be warned that we're about to get to severe spoiler territory, and for good measure, we will sound the spoiler klaxon. That's right. Hello, it's me. It's Werner. When you hear the spoiler klaxon, that means spoilers will be coming. So if you don't want them, avoid, jump off the train. If you do want them, get on the train. Get on my magical train of wonderment and German delight. It's going to be so fantastic. Woo-woo. We're geared. I cannot wait. We're going to build firefighter Grogu, and we're going to build the baby, and he's going to have a yellow lightsaber because no matter NFTs and deepfakes, what is that, Caitlin and Bush?
There's a clear order in to watch Star Wars The Bad Batch, episode 14, and then listen to our podcast.
You could say that again. Definitely right. That totally is. All right, here we go again. Punch it.
Good soldiers follow orders.
Cavalry has arrived.
Star Wars The Bad Batch, Season 1, Episode 14, directed by Stuart Lee, written by Damani Johnson, story editor Matt Miknovitz, title, War Mantle, and that's War-Mantle.
Just in case
anyone cares. Now, we'll remember probably where the title comes from. Many, many, many episodes back. Feels like another lifetime, doesn't it? Tarkin... referred to Operation War Mantle to our old buddy Rampart. He says, you're in charge or something like that about Operation War Mantle. And ever since we've been wondering, I lie awake at night wondering, what is that? What is going on with Operation War Mantle? Will somebody spill the beans?
Was that one of the operations that they saw in Rogue One? Speaking of Rogue One.
No, it wasn't one of them. You're talking about when she's like, Black Saber, Pax Aurora, Hyperspace Tracking.
There it is, yep.
Aeronauts on Amazon Prime, projects I should avoid in the future,
yeah.
Different agencies I should look up with. Why, I don't know why my accent's changing.
Yeah, where did this go?
Hello, hello. Name's Gian Erso.
Oh.
Scarves and Vests is my name. Blowing up Death Stars is my game.
Oh,
all right.
Oh.
That's my Felicity Jones impression. You like
it? It was good. I appreciated the scarf reference more than I did.
You know what I like about it is its accuracy.
Sure. Okay.
Well, back to this episode. We're on a forest planet at night. A clone in partial armor runs from other clones, and a pair of Massifs are following. They're using them like drug sniffing dogs.
Mm.
And these are the dog-like creatures we've usually see with Tusken Raiders.
Yeah.
We see them in Attack of the Clones. They're gnawing on a bone. And they, although Anakin doesn't say, and not just the men, but the women, the children, and their dogs too. Their pets.
They're
the little
dogs
Tusken
too.
Raider goldfish. I hate them! He doesn't say that, but I'm pretty sure the Massifs there don't make it out. We also saw them in the Mando, the Cobb Vanth episode with the crate dragon. We saw them there too. To my knowledge, we've never really seen the Empire use them, but of course they'd be using them, you know, to sniff out trouble. Mm. So those are Massifs, and that's, I thought they were, and the absolute StarWars.com has proved me 100% right on that. So I'll not be having any pushbacks on whether or not these space dogs be Massifs.
Well, thank you, StarWars.com.
Yeah. So
I always rely on it.
He stumbles. We see he sets a beacon of some kind. He finally gets stunned. He walks it off. I like this. He gets stunned. He's like, nope, still up.
Just a leg. Just got him a leg.
Again. Yeah. He's like, just my leg. Just my arm. Just the other arm. Yep, I'm down. And that's it. He's ultimately caught. To the Batch on the Marauder in hyperspace. Hunter doing little knife tricks while, I thought this was adorable, Omega's watching and starts to do the same tricks with, what is she holding, a spanner, a space screwdriver?
She's still working on Gonki. She's been working on Gonki for a few weeks.
Yeah. Unnamed space tool. So we're back. We haven't seen her, unless I missed it, we haven't seen her really mimic any of the Batch in a while. So I'm wondering if we're getting a little, hey, remember she does this before the final two episodes and we get Answer City. Caitlin and Bush, do you think that's possible or just a fun little grace note?
Some part of me wants to say the former, but I feel like it's just the latter. It's cute. It's nice. It makes my heart all warm, you know.
And as long as it does that, I don't need to overthink it.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Matt, would you agree with that? I'm overthinking it. It makes Caitlin's heart warm. That's all that matters?
What,
Matt
you Romano. Overthinking? Never. Come on.
No.
No.
All right. Enough being cute.
I agree.
What's your real answer?
I agree. Agree.
That yes. I'm overthinking it?
Yes.
I was hoping you'd say something else. All right.
Moving on.
They are hailed, but I was going to. Don't worry, Gian Erso's always moving on.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Don't make me turn this into another Padme.
You're doing this yourself.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You have dragged me into this bit, kicking and screaming,
oh,
Caitlin and Bush.
Oh, my God.
They are hailed by Rex, who comes up on the hollow in a cloak, like you would if you were hiding. You'd be in a cloak.
Yeah.
Or if you're on a mysterious hollow, also prime time for a cloak.
He's got a poncho. He's got the poncho.
Be it Almec, Ahsoka, or Palpatine, that's how it's done
on
the with the cloaks.
Always.
Cloaks in hollows. Yeah, exactly. The two-season show and nothing else.
Yeah.
Man, that sucked. Rex has retrieved a not the show. My reference.
We got it.
Yeah, okay.
The show was very good.
I'm sure the show was good. All right. Rex has retrieved a distress call from an old trooper friend. He's tied up, so he can't go himself. He's like, "Look, I have literally anything else to do. So you guys said if you can help, what do you have going on? Probably nothing." He says he's an old friend and he's in trouble. The signal is coming from Darrow in the Outer Rim, and he gives him the clone number. CC-5576 is the clone in question. Now, if you're into clone numbers and you know every single one, you'll know who this is. In fairness, I didn't, and I couldn't even tell you. Like, I know what Fives, our old friend Fives, I know what his clone number was.
Oh, is it four? Oh, yeah.
Four.
Or five.
That's right, Matt. Numbers.
The letters of math.
Hunter says, we've gone on missions before without much intel, but this would be stretching it. And Echo kind of calls him on that and says, Rex wouldn't ask us for help if it wasn't urgent. Now, Tech says, well, look, we're in the middle of a job for Sid. We won't get paid if we deviate. And I was about to say side quest, but as some of more than one of our listeners have pointed out, these aren't side quests anymore. They're like, if this is the side quest, then what's the main quest? There is no main
quest.
Fair
point.
There's just this. These aren't side quests. These are just quests.
Yeah.
It's not like with Mando. It's like the overall thing is get the kid to a Jedi, help Frog Lady before in order to do that.
Right.
They're just existing. They just pretty much work for a Trandoshan woman named Sid. And that's and so their quest is money.
Yeah, but I still consider the main quest the Crosshair storyline and fleeing the Empire and finding a place for
I'm
themselves
sure
in the universe.
You consider that the main quest, but do they?
Oh, they personally? The Bad Batch? No.
Yeah.
That's just their life.
Caitlin and Bush, what do you think about
it? I think they're just a bunch of simple men trying to make their way in the universe, Brian.
See, that's what I think.
See, there you go, Caitlin.
I think Caitlin's right and Matt's wrong on that.
Okay.
So ultimately we get down to no money means no food. And Wrecker throughout this whole thing, this is some really good Wrecker here.
Oh yeah.
Because he thinks Echo has a point and each time he doesn't say he says Echo has a point, then he says Tech has a point. Omega says a friend is more important than food. And so Wrecker says she has a point. All three of these, he says they have a point. After each one, he goes,
Echo's got a point.
And then he says,
oh yeah. Tech's got a point.
And then he says,
well, the kid's got a point.
And I like that he doesn't change it. It's like, oh, wait, no, Tech has a point. It's like he changes the thing. Each
they
one is
points.
Said
yeah.
like it's a brand new thing. It's like, Caitlin has a point. Caitlin has a point. Caitlin has a point. It's like he just says it cut and paste the
Rucker's
exact
a simple
same way.
Man. Come on.
Yeah,
no, or it's, and he's, you know, I was going to say charming, but okay.
Yeah.
So they're going to go check things out because Omega is right. A friend is more important than food. More important than that, a friend who you can later eat as food.
There we go.
To Kamino. It's time for check-in. We know it's going to be a real treat. Crosshair and Rampart, they have some kind of operation underway, and it's not a surprise party. Every clone is ordered to be mobilized, and the Kaminoans, they have their orders too. Little clones are walking. They've got little backpacks, everything, going on a field trip, and don't think they're going to be coming back. They ask Nala Se why they're leaving, and they're not voiced by Daniel Logan here, so it might be Dee Bradley Baker pitching real down. There's only one line, but I looked. It's not Daniel Logan. They're like, look, it's against protocol.
We'll still be soldiers, won't we?
Of course. That is what you were made for.
No.
And I'm like,
red flags! No. Red flags!
Red flags! Red flags here!
Come and get them! Digital exclusive at Comic-Con, Red Flags.
I got a very Master Skywalker, what should we do?
What's live? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
We're still going to be soldiers, aren't we? There's too many of them. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what I would do. I'd strap up my goggles and a scarf and get the Death Star plans. Now she's changed into something else.
Yeah, is going on? Okay.
What is happening?
I don't know, but just right now, Caitlin and Bush, do me a favor. Forbid me from doing that bit again.
I swear to God, Brian, if you do that bit again, I'm going to leave.
Wow. Right.
Well, that'll to quote the Goblin King, that'll do it. Okay. Lama Sue talks with Nala Se now in the glowing white ladle chair room. He says, the Empire has canceled all of our contracts. So things have gotten a little bit worse for the Kaminoans. Mm-hmm. We knew this was coming, but it's like, okay, the Empire just wiped them all. It seems like we never saw the decision where the Empire's like, okay, we have now decided conscripts are better than clones. They've already decided.
Oh, like, yeah. I think they decided that in day one. Yeah.
Yeah. That spaceship has flown.
All just bureaucracy at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And probably a fair amount of numbers. I have no clue what that meant. Nala Se says, look, everyone we know out there, look, we've got friends. Everybody knows our clones were so successful. There's a whole wars named after them. So surely we'll get other clients. You know, we'll work again.
Yeah.
We might have to play the nurse, but we'll also play Cleopatra. It's going to be great.
The Empire is not like the Republic. We have empowered them to our own detriment. I fear they will destroy us rather than allow this operation to continue.
Well, what do you know? It sounds caring about nothing but your pocketbook size is not a very good way to go, llama suck. That's right.
Got him.
I said it.
You did it.
Nailed it, right?
Got him real good.
I showed that long neck animated MF what's what, didn't I, guys?
You sure did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got him. It's the best part of my day.
Yeah.
And then he says, look, gather everybody that's essential because we got to beat it to make sure we survive. Mm-hmm. The batch comes into Darrow. Meanwhile, they find the beacon and they're surrounded by some really nice lush greens. Really nice. This whole planet, again, big shocker. But the environmentals on this planet.
Oh, man.
Some of the white shots look photoreal.
Pretty.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even when in the beginning of the episode when to be named clone trooper is running through the woods and the light of the moon through the trees. And we say it every week, but the show is so beautiful. The animation is so good.
Yes.
Well, it was nice. I like a forest moon. I also really like lush greens.
Yeah. Lush greens.
I really
tell me
like
about
lush
it.
Greens. When mm-hmm. I'm calibrating my televisions, Matt, you know what I test it with?
The green.
Shire greens in Lord of the Rings. If those, Shire greens are not lush and green, like green,
mm-hmm. then you don't want it.
Yeah. Then it's not calibrated properly. So anyway, some of it just looked photo real, and it was like really, really beautiful. So Hunter sniffs around and looks around. He's actually doing some actual tracking.
He's hunting.
For a change. Living up to his name. He's doing some hunting. The clone was being hunted, and he was dragged that way. And they get to a mountain and deduce there's something inside of it. The planet is not the sun inhabited as they were led to believe. I don't know who the hell was scanning it, but it turns out, well, I guess they were being jammed.
There's interference
or whatever.
Yeah.
Wrecker and Omega go and wait on the ship while the others move in. Omega's not happy about it, but Wrecker seems not to care. The other three scale the mountain and they find a whole military base inside, like a James Bond base, and a shuttle lands in it right as they approach. Echo scopes squads of clones within who has updated their armor. And as soon as he says this, we hear not the Imperial March, but the Imperial theme. We hear in New Hope.
Yes.
The one that...
The beginning.
Yeah. And because, I mean, the Imperial March, I don't think I'm going to get pushback from either of you. The Imperial March is the best bad guy music in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, and they're saving that. They are saving that music for a big moment, I think.
And one of the things, not to go back to Rogue One again, but one of the biggest wishes I had when that movie came out is that they wouldn't just use the Imperial March. They'd also use the one in New Hope that you never hear again outside of that movie. You don't hear it in the prequels or anywhere. Mm-hmm. And not only did they use that, they even brought in Krennic's other theme. So you have three themes seamlessly woven together, and the score of that movie is just incredible. Anyway, I loved hearing the Imperial music here, and we get a lot of it. They are, in fact, wearing, these troopers here, they're wearing some proto-stormtrooper armor. It isn't the classic look. It isn't the official stormtrooper look yet, because when we get a closer look at the helmets, it's not the classic one we come to know all too well later, but it is very similar to Ralph McQuarrie's original designs and paintings for A New Hope.
Mm. Yeah.
So, and that's also, that was intentional, also according to
kind
Star Wars.
Sleeker, I think.
Yeah, a little sleeker. It's like when you look at his original Darth Vader paintings, it's very similar.
Yeah. Or his 3PO.
It's that kind of thing.
But this is something Filoni loves to do. He loves to do this.
Oh, that's how we wound up with Zeb. That's how we wound up with Chopper. That's how we wound up with certain other droids. So it makes sense. Hunter is ready to go back to the ship and calm Rex. He's like, this is a much bigger deal than we thought, and I just don't have the time.
And Echo says, I do not want to do this.
Yeah, he says, we're not just going to bugger into all this. And Echo says, you did that on Skako Minor when you rescued me.
Echoes in, man.
Yeah.
If there's a chance that Trooper's being held against his will, we have to try to get him out.
So, of course, discussion over, they're going in. They calm the ship to let the others know. Naturally, Omega wants to help, but it's like, you guys are backup. We need you as backup, and that turns out to be a good thing. The comms will be jammed once they're in the base. The trio rides a lift down and then jumps into this giant base, and Echo scomps in. More of the New Hope Imperial riff, which is, as I said, is all over this episode. But not just that. Matt Romano
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I got a big, and not just because I was hearing that music or a riff on that music, I got a big New Hope Death Star feel from the inside of this base, especially the red panel above the computer terminal. Am I alone in that? Or did you get that too?
No, totally. I think like one of the coolest things in this series is like the slow transition to the Empire, like, you know, little details here and there.
Agreed.
And now you're seeing it in this base had a very Empire feel. Obviously the stormtroopers, as you mentioned, like we are slowly ticking up to full Empire.
Yes.
Yeah. And we were getting towards the end of Clone Wars, except now we're on the other side of it.
Yeah.
And there's some things that are on the verge of a change that are not quite there. It's like, we'll get into some other things, but like the helmet, it's almost there, but they're in the midst.
But we don't have TIE fighters. We don't have any, you know, like where there's a long ways to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. They have yet to make some really bad decisions.
Yes.
They've already made a few.
Yeah,
But we've yet to make more. Caitlin and Bush, would you agree? Do you get a New Hope Death Star vibe from this?
Absolutely. I mean, the entire time that they're sneaking around this place, there's so many little details here and there that it looks like you're on the Death Star.
Yeah. And again, fine opportunity to steal some of the as we'll get into, what they come to call the TK armor and go incognito. They're just like, they're like me. They don't like changing clothes in a department store.
Yeah.
It's like, there's just something weird about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's literally the same thing.
Okay.
Except literally when I do that, usually my life is not on the line. Or is it? Echo reads, okay, there's 50 clone commandos here and 1,000 TK troopers. And Tech says, TK trooper, I am not familiar with that designation. And at this point, neither are we. We know that TK means stormtrooper because of TK-421, why aren't you at your post?
Yep.
TK-421, why aren't you at your post? TK-421, do you copy?
Things like that. So we know that they're not, that's how they're designated. But this is all new stuff for them. And I thought that was pretty cool that all of a sudden we get that. And Tech's like, wait, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's not a thing yet.
Yeah.
Now, a little bit on Clone Commandos, because this episode is awash in Clone Commandos. And so a little bit of a backstory on them. They were they wear Katarn, quote unquote, class commando armor. If you know who the Clone Commandos are, chances are good that you're a big fan of them, because these guys are really popular. Mm-hmm. In canon, the Republic Commando group Delta Squad popped up briefly in season 3 of the Clone Wars, I believe in the 3rd episode of the first Savage arc in season 3, the Savage Oppress, when Dump Savage comes, well, not when he kills those Jedi, and they are the clones that bring the Jedi back in the rain to the temple.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of monster could have done this? And that's Delta
Savage.
Squad. Savage. Table for Savage. It's Savage. Oh, it's been a while since we busted that up. Feels good.
Feels
good. Just like graduating with full marks. Anyway, Caitlin would know. Matt and I wouldn't. Okay, so. We meet, and we met another memorable clone commando later in the series, which we'll get to because we might be seeing him in a couple minutes. In Legends, though, they feature a lot more, notably in the game Republic Commando. And one of the commandos in this episode, according to StarWars.com, is meant to resemble the character RC-1262, a.k.a. Scorch, a notable character from that game. The concept of clone commandos training other troopers, which is what's going on here, they're training stormtroopers, except in the original story, they were clone commandos were training other clones, so it's a little different. That is taken, the inspiration for that is taken mostly from the Legends book series, aptly titled Republic Commando by Karen Travis. Now, both the books and the games are still very popular to this day. There are huge devotees of these. And lest we forget, technically all of the batch are clone commandos too.
Yes.
They're just, you know, teenager commandos with attitude.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
That played, whatever. So having so much clone commando canon in this episode is likely a cause for celebration for the contingent of fandom that is really into them. This is a cool win. I hope they enjoyed this, because they've been really wanting more of these guys forever. So I'm really happy for them. If you consider yourself a big fan of the Clone Commandos, good for you. And cannon fire! Matt Romano, the game. Let me go. The game, Republic Commander, did you play that game?
You know, I recently played it like a few months ago because it's available to re-download in the Xbox Marketplace. And it's a game that I never played before. So I kind of went back and played it. But a lot of those older games that you replay on consoles, like the magic is a little gone because the controls are a little wonky or just not like, you know, maybe what they used to be. But I enjoyed it. I think it's a fun game, and I wish I played it at the time it came out.
It's fun. You had fun?
I had fun. Good time.
That's what's important with video games. Like, what I have to ask myself first is, like, am I having fun? If I'm not having fun, there's a problem.
Yeah, but I really, you know, the sad part, what I really enjoyed most out of that game were, like, the cutscenes, because they do have some stuff on Kamino, and, like, there's some cool story going on. That. Yeah, cool story going on.
Did they get into the saber dart?
They didn't. I can't say they did.
Caitlin and Bush, any history between you and Clone Commandos? I don't remember us ever talking about
Absolutely not. I don't think I ever, my brother might have played it, but it was not my jam at the time.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, Caitlin's mom is here. And her thoughts on the Republic Commandos and the commandos we see here, the Clone Commandos. What are your thoughts?
I would like to see more of that character.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she them, wants to see it. Yeah, totally.
Character always enthusiastic. Singular.
Yeah. So just one of them. Oh, we have and you get one, you get the other. Harrison Ford also here. Harrison Ford, are you happy that the Clone Commandos are back in canon?
I don't care.
Okay.
There we go. That's better. Yeah.
I guess one man's commando is another man's errand. Yeah. Right? Okay. So Echo pinpoints their Mark's target. He's in a cell, tries to charm a clone guard in the TK armor, and he's unsuccessful. There's no Jedi mind trick here. He just tries to be charming. Yeah. And he's, I think since he was blown up and survived, this Mark, who we find out who it is, yeah. But he's nuts, especially because when we meet him later, he's nutty. We met him the first time, he's pretty much on the straight and narrow, but I think that near-death experience drove him to the edge a little bit.
He's nutty, but like right now it's like kind of in a fun way, you know.
He's nutty in a fun way. He's not going to start making racist comments on Thanksgiving,
right? You would have a fun time going out and sitting with him at a bar for a couple of hours. You might get some weird looks from the other people around you, but like you're gonna have a good time.
And then it's definitely, it's okay, cut him off, it's time to go.
Yeah.
It's like, you've got to watch him.
It'd be a whole thing.
And especially because and then he says a line which really, I was like, wow, I talk about of all the words I didn't think they'd use on this show. He says to the guard, he calls him an insubordinate plebe. I was like, wow, okay.
And I'm also raise my eyebrows at that.
Yeah.
Insubordinate plebe.
Now, I'm going to assume that he's using it to mean cadet or freshman,
right.
Which is one definition of the word plebe, and not the derogatory usage of the word plebe, or sometimes pronounced pleb, which dates back to Roman class divisions between patricians and plebeians.
Plebs are needed.
So I'm going to guess it's the former, and he wasn't making a Rome reference, which would make no sense because Rome doesn't. I'm not going to do it.
Always
don't worry.
I'm not going to do it.
Welcome back to Rome the Pod. That's right. Patrician, plebeian. What's the difference? I did it.
Yeah. You did.
So anyway, so it's the former. Anyway, the batch arrives and they say, and he's like, they say Rex sent them. And he's like, ah, in that case, the name's Gregor. Now let's move out. And I wrote, hey, it's Gregor. Yay.
Gregor. Yeah.
Matt Romano, did you already think this was Gregor before he said, my name is Gregor? Or
I knew he was someone. My head just couldn't pull the name out fast enough.
You didn't
enough.
Notice him. Yeah, Caitlin and Bush, did you think he was going to be Gregor or somebody else?
I had thought that it would be someone that we had seen before. And I was in the same boat as Matt where I couldn't put the mild nuttiness to the name for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't either. I also didn't connect the commando thing either. Yeah.
The commando thing I got right away. That was pretty, I mean, you can't mistake that helmet.
But the Gregor himself was a clone commando.
Oh,
so
yeah,
he's a commando.
Right.
What commandos do we know? We've only really gotten to know one in canon. That's what I'm talking about.
Gotcha.
He's a commando with the...
Yeah, okay.
What am I, an idiot over here?
Get sure.
Regular Jyn Erso lecturing me here.
What is he, a plebe?
Yeah. What do you think I am, some kind of plebe? Yeah, get in, plebe. We're going shopping. Okay, so seeing Gregor back, though, and get folded into the mix was something that thinking back to us discussing what could happen on this show, we did talk about this, if I remember correctly, because when we last saw Gregor timeline wise, it was in the Clone Wars season 5 in, heaven help me, the D Squad arc, in the episode Missing in Action, where Meeber Gascon and R2 and the rest of them come across him on Abafar, and he has amnesia following the Battle of Sarish, and he helps them escape and seemingly sacrifices himself, and that was the last we saw of him. We knew he survived because he shows up later on Star Wars Rebels, but how exactly, we didn't really know. We knew that he shows up there with Rex and Wolf on their shrimp and boat, Jupa
tank. Yeah, he's a nutty. Not right in the head. You know?
Yeah, he's wearing a tank top from the very fast food restaurant that brainwashed and conditioned him. So I don't know what that's about. But how both he and Wolf ended up having their chips out in there with Rex, it is something we thought the show would address. It's doing it in a way I didn't think, where Rex just comes in. It's like, hey, you guys go deal with this guy. Mm-hmm. The side question, where do we think Rex is? Like, what could be so urgent?
I don't know. Yeah, go ahead, Kaylin.
He's sitting on the finale plot right now. I don't know.
Oh,
yeah. There you go. Yeah.
He's got a big treasure box full of finale. Interesting take from Kaylin M. Bush. Matt Romano, any thoughts, any rebuttals?
Yeah, no. I think we're going to find out next week. I mean, not to get ahead of ourselves, but I think that they're going to. Well, we'll talk about it.
You could answer any question that way.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, but particularly, I think we're going to find out very soon.
Of course,
where Rex
I'll have
was.
To replace it. Okay, well, we knew. How did he survive is the whole question. The group moves out. Gregor sees they are commandos like him. They identify to him as CT-99, so he knows what that means. Yes, it means they're free, and they're also defective clones.
If you ask me, it's the ones who want to stay here who are really defective.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah.
Got him. Yeah.
It's like he and I.
And let me just say, D. Bradley Baker's having a great time playing Gregor. It's got to be one of his favorite clones to play, right?
Yeah. She's got to be.
Yeah.
He finds
these nuances for these voices. It's really something special.
Because if you were to play, if we were to play Gregor, then Cut LaQuain and Kix and then Top.
Yeah.
I bet all three of us could identify which is which.
Absolutely. Yeah, because they all have like one thing.
These are the ones, which is which. Or if it's like, this is one clone, who is this one? We know it's Gregor because he has this whiny little thing, especially post-explosion.
Yeah.
He's got this whiny, mad cuckoo's nest quality. Where I'm like, see a doctor.
Please.
He starts to say he's an instructor, and then an alert sounds. They triggered it by using clone codes, which do not work here. The batch then takes out a squad, still mostly using stunning and gassing. And Gregor says, only one way out, up. And in comes Ed Asner in a big house lifted by balloons. Except not really. Tech takes a helmet off one of them, and surprise, it's not a clone. Gregor says, these are our replacements. If you can believe that. And I thought this was a cool way to show this, that not only is the replacement imminent, as we said, it's underway.
Yeah.
TK we see here, they ain't clones.
No.
So we've got running and gunning and stunning, if you will. There's a bad name.
Yeah.
No, that's it.
Right. No, we'll put it on a t-shirt or something.
Yeah.
Running, gunning and stunning.
Don't do me any favors, Matt.
I feel like that's some band's second album, you know,
not the name
of the band.
Run and Gun.
Well, I can think of one band that would like to use that album name. Matt?
Red Blade! Running and gunning and stunning. And if this van is running, don't gun in. I don't know.
That's good.
And Monster Trucks.
That was good. And Monster
Thank you.
Trucks.
If you didn't do the okay, I like how you just say the word at the end. It's like end with noun. So the Imperial riff is still playing all through these hallways. One of the batches, I thought you said you trained these guys because they're not really good. The batch is ripping these guys up. And I like that Gregor says,
I didn't teach them everything. I wouldn't be very smart, would it?
And I thought this was really interesting. Mm-hmm. That the clones are training these twerps, but they're holding back certain info. Kaylin and Bush, this strikes me as something to remember. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
What else aren't they learning?
Yeah. It's like they know it's because it's like he's crazy, but he's like, okay, train them to do what you, it's like train the deepfake guy.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
I'm exactly. sure yeah. he's going to teach them some things.
Yeah.
He's not going to train them, give them the recipe to the yeah. special deepfake sauces.
Train your replacements. Why yeah.
Because yeah. exactly the minute he teaches them everything, well, then we're just going to get rid of you. They don't need him anymore.
Yeah, you think Gregor's like teaching them, like, you know, you should aim at the shoulders, you know, but yeah, not yeah. at the shoulder.
Or
aim
even
5 feet up from
see,
the shoulder.
See, here's where, when you're shooting at somebody, aim at the ground yeah. or aim a few inches to the side of their head, not
exactly.
at their head.
Yeah,
it's like, see, when you're deep faking somebody, what you want to do is, you know, well, I'll show you this, this, and this. Well, how exactly do we do that? Say you're not here. Well, that's just it. You don't.
How do you do the eyes? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, well, I'll do them for you. But again, what if you're not here? Well, then you don't do them. Okay, so we're in a lift and they ask Gregor to elaborate. And he says, well, we clones are soldiers of a republic that doesn't exist. These recruits come from all over the galaxy. They swear loyalty to the Empire. They're not as skilled, but there's an endless supply of them.
And there it
and
is.
Bingo, bango, ding, ding, ding. Air horn here, if you please. There you go. A cheap and endless supply was chosen over a smaller supply of ultra-skilled, experienced troopers. It's the TIE Defender story all over again, except it's taking place before it. Because if they had not skimped here, Matt Romano, question for you. Mm-hmm. If they had not skimped, if they had continued to use clones, don't you think the Empire's success rate would have been higher and stormtroopers would not be such a joke, especially when it comes to marksmanship?
Yeah, absolutely. If the Empire, we've talked about this before, they're all about flash, they're all about size and just like, you know, looking good, looking bad. And they're going for numbers. But if the Empire wanted to do clones, they probably could have kept a tight order on the galaxy with less troops, but they wanted, you know, they're flashy. They don't want it. They're not smart.
And,
there we go.
And in this case, they were just going up against the Separatists, who were that's the whole point of the battle droids, is that they suck.
Yeah.
But there's a ton of them.
Right.
There's endless waves of them like zombies. And that's how whenever they depict them as whenever the battle droids have been frightening, and it's rare, but it's frightening because they don't stop coming.
Yeah. And there's more and more,
they cannot possibly take them all on. And you'd think they'd learn that lesson, but Caitlin and Bush, they obviously haven't.
When has the Empire in any of its forms ever learned any of its lessons, though?
Oh!
No!
Caitlin Bush slams the Empire. Page
headlines.
Two, but first, poster makes fixation at con that doesn't exist? Anyway. So we're on the Marauder. Omega's not having any of this and doesn't know how Wrecker can be relaxing. And he just says, I'm sure they've got everything under control. Cut immediately to the trio and Gregor running amok in a hallway. They don't have anything under control. It's a very funny cut. It was just so humorous.
Mm-hmm.
It takes many stun blasts to take down a pursuing commando, which, again, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
The whole place has, again, have I mentioned this? The huge Imperial design vibes of this place?
Right, yeah,
I think you've
touched
on that five times. I wrote it down again, just in case. Gregor is hit, but he's okay.
Ha. Don't worry about me. This is nothing. I got blown up once and survived. I can survive this.
And that's as much of the story as we get. We don't get any more explanation. It's like,
that's all we need.
But you exploded. It's like, I got better.
It's fine.
That's the whole thing. I'm like, okay, I accept it. And I also wrote, yeah, we saw that.
We thought you
like,
died.
I remember I watched that. Yeah, he killed a guy. You might want to lay low for a while. So Tech figures out a crazy way up. They can't get out, but they can signal the ship. In a corridor getting out, how did Gregor even end up in this place? He said, well, I was sent here with other commandos and quickly realized I wanted out. Turns out the Empire doesn't take too kindly to desertion. You can say that again. Matt, you know that all too well.
Oh, yeah, all too well.
Now, they get to the spot and they calm the ship, and Omega and Wrecker are all too happy to be on their way. Gunships and V-Wings flow out of the base. I thought this is interesting because V-Wings we've come to expect in this era. They're still using some gunships. So it's like a little, it's like, well, what do we got that's left over using these gunships left over from the Clone Wars? The Marauder comes in and Wrecker is blasting away. Omega is flying the ship as best she can.
Oh,
bless her heart. So Tech good. Manages to get aboard and takes over on the flying. He's like, you did really good. I'm going to handle it from here. It's as much of a Omega Tech sweet moment that we'll probably get.
Yeah.
Wrecker gets on the tail gun. We get more V-wing action here than we've really ever gotten. And these ships are the stopgap between really Republic and Empire, because these fighters are what the Empire uses now. And when it comes to upgrading these fighters, the plan was that they were going to go with X-Wings. They were going to use INCOM and use X-Wings, which we know have shields, more guns, and slot for an astromech. They don't do that, of course. They, again, go with the cheap swarming death traps that are the TIE fighters. And INCOM was left hanging, so that's how the Rebellion ends up using X-Wings. It's like, well, they don't want them, we'll use them.
Yeah.
And once again, TIE fighters are dangerous and can't do nearly as much as an X-Wing, but they are cheaper and you can make tons of them. You can make more. They have bad shields. They are incredibly unsafe. But the Empire doesn't care about its pilots.
They don't.
They have an endless supply of pilots than everyone else. So who cares? The TIE Defender would have solved this problem. But as we know, Palpatine chose to focus instead on his big, sexy death ball.
A lot of HR issues in the Empire here.
Yeah, we have some problems. Caitlin M. Bush, would you co-sign this statement? You get what you pay for.
Absolutely, yeah.
Matt, would you co-sign that?
Yeah, I sign it right away. Yeah. On the dotted line. Yep.
You get what you pay for. Freedom isn't free. Would you co-sign that?
Moving on.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't, you don't believe in freedom.
Moving on.
All right. One commando goes down from deadly fire from other troopers. I'm thinking, man, we've been talking about this for a while. Stun watch. The badge.
Yeah.
They're still, for the most part, like, and they do cause some deaths here, but they're still using stun settings here and gassing.
I think this is the end of that. Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think?
I think so. I'd imagine they're going to have a pretty serious conversation in the coming episodes.
It's building up to the thing where it's going to need a scene. It's like, guys, it's time for us to switch this setting.
Yeah.
Kill our brothers? We can't. Well, they're not our brothers.
They're not your brothers.
They're
anymore.
Just random idiots that decided, I want this to be my life. Because these are not four captives like the First Order. These are enlists. These people are enlisting. They see that ad that Han Solo watched in the Corellia spaceport.
Yeah.
They're like, wow, it's in a major key. We're going to join up.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly.
So change that setting. But anyway, the Marauder is evading V-Wings left and right. The shields are down. And who comes to the rescue? I thought of you both, because who comes to the rescue but Gonki and Omega?
Yes!
Plugs Gonki into the systems, and that fixes everything. It kind of fries Gonki, but I think Gonki's okay.
But what a moment! What a moment!
Gonki, we need you!
It's working. Systems are back online.
This must have been very satisfying for both of you.
It was so good.
Mind blown. I'm doing it.
Mind blown.
It's happening.
Really?
There it is.
Yeah,
because we've been talking about this all season. Like, we didn't necessarily get the Gonki centric episode, but we've been waiting for like the Gonki moment where he was going to be hero moment. You know,
season one is way too early for a Gonki centric episode.
We'll get there, but now we're going to get there, baby steps. Because now, like, you know, Omega's been working on him the entire season. You saw in the first scene, you know, when she was still repairing him, she finally did it. She got him working. You know, he had a full charge. He saved the day. It's fantastic.
It's amazing.
And if I may also add that I think the beauty of Gonki playing a part in this episode is that the whole batch, including the ship, like every character is helping out in this episode.
Yes.
The ship has an awesome moment. Gonki has an awesome moment. And every member of the batch has a part to play. So I feel like it's a full team effort going on in this episode. And I was here for it.
Family.
All right.
Family.
All right.
Family.
I don't have friends. I got family.
You don't need the Force when you've got family.
Got family.
Can I just say it's like the endless memes of you, my favorite one is Poe Dameron looking up. It's like but there's more of us.
Yeah.
And he shows up and it's instead of Lando's Armada, it's a million Vin Diesels or some power family.
Yeah.
But it's not there's more of us, Poe. It's something like there's more family, Poe. Yeah. And it's like it's a million of that. I do not get tired of those.
Great meme. Great meme.
It's a fantastic meme.
Yeah.
It's a great meme.
Excellent.
It's an excellent meme.
Yeah.
Okay, before Caitlin says and move on, I'm just going to move on. So they blow up the V-Wings. They circle back. The others jump on as a lot more V-Wings fly in. But Hunter falls off the ramp down and onto the planet's surface.
Hunter.
He falls. He bangs off a mountain, blows into a tree, then drops to the ground. Gonki, as we said, gets electrocuted. They got system failures going on left and right. Hunter comes to, calms them, and says, go. Get out of here. Just get out of here. Yeah. That's an order. Omega screams for them to go back. This is like some serious screaming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Screams for Hunter.
It's heartbreaking.
And Hunter says, no, I order you to go. Go. Get out of here. And Hunter then says, sorry. And Omega's like, screw you. Go back.
Hunter, tell them to come back. Order them to come back.
Sorry, kid. I can't do that.
And then he's surrounded by commandos, TKs, and a couple of massives. The Marauder escapes. But that is not the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
On Kamino, Rampart visits Llama Suck. He says something disturbing has come to his attention. Nal, and he's like, and it's not about my fantasy football, although I'm not very happy about that either. Nala Say comes in under... Wow, nothing from that. You guys hate it. It wasn't classic, I agree. Nala Say comes in under guard, and Rampart keeps going, your chief scientist was gathering medical personnel to flee Kamino. Llama Suck says, this is most surprising. I will ensure a proper punishment. Rampart says, I've never thought the clones were all that great, but I do believe you will be of great service to the Empire. He's pretty much saying this to the room at large. Mm-hmm. And he looks at Nala Say and says, a scientist I have use for.
A politician? I do not. I'm afraid your services are no longer needed.
And this kind of, it didn't strike fear in my heart because I hate Llama Suck at this point. Especially, I didn't mind him before this show, but this series made me realize
he's a good dude.
Yeah,
he's a long neck scumbag.
Yeah.
And Rampart walks out of the room with Nala Say. Two troopers enter. They flank Llama Suck, and the doors to the glowing ladle chair room close. And that's all we see. Do we think that they then shoot Llama Suck to death? Because I don't want to be premature here, like we may or may not have been with other characters, but it seems to me like he's dead. Caitlin M. Bush, what do you think? Llama Suck dead or alive?
I think it's heavily implied that he is now dead, but, you know, we've been wrong before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we've learned if we don't hear the blaster shot, we don't see the body. Yeah.
Excuse me, Matt. I didn't ask.
Oh, I'm adding. You don't have to ask, no, Brian. I'm adding to Caitlin's point.
No,
I didn't ask yet.
Nobody, no crime.
I was going to follow. Yeah, I was going to follow up. Now,
please do.
Interesting, Caitlin.
Yeah.
Question for you, Matt Romano. Anything to add?
What did I just say? Yeah. So if we didn't see a body and we didn't hear the gunshot, he's not dead. I don't know.
Caitlin,
I'm not going to say he's dead. I think
Caitlin kind of just said that.
If I may add, maybe.
Yeah, you may.
It might be a redeeming moment where he is a jerk, but maybe in a future episode, like, you know, they break him out and he gives the Bad Batch the codes to get off Kamino or something and does one less valiant effort.
You're saying they, one valiant.
So
you're saying they could put him in prison, and that's what, because I thought if he was dead that we'd hear blaster shots and maybe a
we need that good
there's no mistaking the sound of a Kaminoan body dropping to the floor.
It's like a pencil in a desk.
Especially a glowing white floor. It's like
here it is. Oh, good. There it is. Yeah, that was it.
Great.
Let me try and do it again.
Ready? Yeah, wait.
Okay. Your services are no longer required.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah. But we didn't
need
to
put a sound effect.
So maybe he's just gonna. That's interesting. Maybe they'll just put him in prison. I hope it's like a really not nice one. I hope it's a nasty one.
Yeah.
And I hope it's Gen Pop.
Yeah. Sure. Ooh, yeah. It's gonna be one of those Dooku prisons where they just like hang you up. They're just floating in the air, bound, and you spin.
Too good for him.
Too good for him.
Yeah.
The off chance that Llama Suck gets off on electrotherapy. No. I want him on the ground. I want him in rags next time we see him, if we see him. Cut to Hunter imprisoned on the Darrow facility gets visited by Crosshair. The last one
yeah.
he'd ever, but of course. And he says, I figured you'd show up.
I was hoping for the whole squad, but you'll do.
The end.
And then you get that awesome crosshair, wow, 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 to end the episode. You know that sound?
I'm sorry, one more time?
It's like, wow, 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 and then it ends, you know?
For Hunter being captured, the return of Gregor, lore on commandos and TK's Lamassu possibly being dead, maybe not. Anyway, nothing good's gonna happen to him. Kamino possibly ready to get the old Geonosian treatment. Cannon fire. All in all, not good. As much as last week did not move the story forward, this week definitely did, and is setting up our end game. Crosshair Nalase is still alive. They could give Hunter the same treatment that Crosshair got, except Hunter doesn't have a chip and Crosshair does, which had me thinking. Could Nalase possibly turn on the Empire and take out Crosshair's chip? Because she would know how to do it.
Yeah.
Whatever the Kaminoan contingency was, it seems like Nalase is the only one left to even reveal what it was, let alone put it in place. We've still got, you know, Cad Bane still out there. Boba's theoretically still out there. I think there's a lot left. There's more things going to happen that we're not going to see in these last two episodes.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It depends on how much they're really just setting up Book of Boba Fett and how much they're telling their own story.
Yeah.
But I think it's fairly clear, correct me if you think I'm wrong, from the title of this episode, that what happens in this episode, all of it, is, in fact, this is what Operation War Mantle is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Tarkin was talking about so much earlier in the season. The transition. Who is going to bear the mantle of war? They decided that time to train them, and we're going to use the outgoing actors to train their replacements, which is a really awful thing to do. Directors, yep. producers, please don't do that, because it
there.
Makes
yeah.
the outgoing actors feel really horrible. Not that that's ever happened to me, but it really makes them feel bad. Ooh, final thoughts on this episode, Caitlin M. Bush.
I'm interested to see what use the Empire has for a Kaminoan scientist, because I just keep thinking about the last time we saw Kaminoan scientist in Star Wars, which I believe was The Mandalorian. So I'm
You're talking about Omid Abtahi's character.
Yeah.
He was not a Kaminoan, but he had the insignia.
So I'm, you know, what use do nefarious purposes have for cloning technology?
Interesting. Yeah. Caitlin M. Bush, follow-up question. That's a little bit of nonsense that not much to do with this, but we'll take a chance and ask you anyway. Do you think when Kaminoans get really old, they bend their necks a little bit and have to wear spectacles that are like, and do you think they look funny with the spectacles on with their big eyes like that?
I feel like they might look a little dignified.
Yeah.
Dignified?
Yeah.
Is that something you'd want to see before the end of your life, an old Kaminoan wearing glasses?
Absolutely.
Kaminoans don't get old because they're cloned and they just make sure that they live forever and look awesome. You know, they know they figured all that stuff out. They don't get old.
Why do you want to kill my dreams, man? Matt Romano, that's what Caitlin's looking out for in terms of this episode. What are your thoughts? Let's get right down to it.
A few things. I got a few quick fire off thoughts there.
Okay, let's hear it. Hit me.
Okay, so I think we are, like we've said in the past, this is all going to culminate in some kind of event on Kamino.
Think it's going to be on Kamino?
Yeah, because I think that you nailed it. They're going to bring Hunter to Kamino to either put a chip in him or something. Now, Kamino's kind of defenseless, so it's kind of the perfect opportunity for the Batch to get a one-up on the Empire. You know, they can, you know, so defenses will be down. It's easy to take over to the base or whatever. So I think we're leading towards that. Also, Plan 7 from a few episodes ago.
What about Plan 7?
Plan 7 has nothing to do with this situation whatsoever.
Well, what do you think of something?
Plan 7 will never work. That's coming, you know, and Plan I think 7. That's probably coming in the final episode.
They haven't seeded that again. That's right.
But that's interesting. Just thing is there.
I want it too. It's like throw up the old Ted Lasso special up there just for fun.
Yeah, exactly. Throw it up there. There you go.
That's what that is.
That's what it is. But yeah, so that's going to happen. And then I'm curious if Echo is going to have any remorse for Hunter being captured, because Hunter was the one that was like, you know, guys, I don't know, this seems like a bad plan. And Echo was really the one that pushed him.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Echo is going to feel anything about that.
Because he kind of guilted them into it, right?
He guilted them into it, and it's, look, Hunter got the bad stick.
We're the bad batch. We don't go buggering into situations, even though every episode of this show, an appearance you've had in the entirety of Star Wars, says otherwise, but okay.
Yeah,
also,
exactly.
If you didn't bugger into situations, I wouldn't be alive and I wouldn't be here. So
yeah, right.
He kind of guilted him into that, so you're thinking Echo might have some regret.
Yeah,
over Hunter.
Yeah, and I can see it.
Maybe
I'd like to see a little bit of that.
I hope
maybe,
so.
Maybe to the point of overcompensating?
Maybe.
Dangerous.
All right. And finally, I'm just going to say also, Scorch, the Republic Commando, he lived, apparently, right? He lives. They just stunned him down. So I think we're going to see those guys again, too. And that would be a really awesome episode to see Republic Commandos versus the Batch. You know, that could be a fun episode.
Well, because there's no way, they're the only ones that would even be a match for the Batch.
Exactly. Yeah, well, they pretty much are the Batch, kind of, you know?
Because the regs are no match for the Batch.
Yep.
You know what, the conscripts, they're no match for the Batch.
Yeah.
The only real character, and if they just abandon their stun settings and shoot to kill, the only ones here, aside from your bounty hunters and Fennec Shand, who don't play by the rules or whatever, the only ones here who are a match for them are the Clone Commandos.
Yes. Yep.
I think.
Yeah, right? Probably.
Or you know, a big stupid monster too. I don't know.
That could happen. Yeah.
I think that's a good point, Matt.
Thank you.
That's a very good point. Excellent. And with Matt's very good point, we're going to go to break, but we're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you? Don't turn us off.
Hello. I don't know about you, but when I'm floating around listening to podcasts, sometimes I find myself wanting merchandise with the name of that podcast on it. What merchandise? T-shirts, mugs, stickers, fanny packs, and more. Return of the Pod now sells merchandise, so go to returnofthepod.store for all of your merchandising needs. I know what I'm going to buy, and I'm lying. I'm not going to buy anything. I don't like the show. I'm not going to buy.
I don't care. It does. Just say, stick to the, say the words.
Why don't you say the
just
words?
Say the script. Stick to the script.
Why don't you stick to the script, all right? You do you, I do me, all right?
No, just, please just say the line at the end.
No, I don't want.
Just say it.
I love Return of the Pod, and I love returnofthepod.store. If you can't take my word for it, then you can't take words at all. That doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, well, neither do you. We're back, and now it's time for some galactic points of interest.
Good news has come to the citizens of Lothal.
In comics, Matt, can I interest you in some comics?
Oh, I love comics. You know that. I love comics.
I do know that. On August 4th, Marvel will release Bounty Hunters number 15, as well as Star Wars War of the Bounty Hunters, a special for LOM and Zookas, the latter being a special written by the luminous Daniel Jose Older with art by Kai Zama. Comic readers who are following this interconnected madness have already gotten more information on Zookas and 4LOM than we ever thought possible, and now they're getting an issue all to themselves where, going by the cover, looks like there might be some trouble in paradise. I don't know. But thanks to the ongoing Bounty Hunters, the title in general, as well as War of the Bounty Hunters, man, you learn things about 4LOM and Zookas that you didn't even know you wanted to know.
Who would have thought, you know?
I believe
you.
That's
extended universe.
That's the power. It's not. It's all canon. It's
well,
not
I know, but yeah, but I'm saying. You know.
Do you know? Yeah. Do you know?
Yeah, great. I do know.
You really want me to switch topics?
No,
well,
no,
I'm going to switch topics to a new point of interest we're going to call Lasso Watch.
Howdy, y'all.
Hey! Caitlin, you know what show I've been watching that's back for its second season, a show that I know all three of us are huge fans of.
I was going to say, is it a show that Matt and I are also obsessed with?
Yeah.
All three of us are.
Yeah.
Can you name the show? Let's see if we get it on the count of three. 3, 2, 1. We'll both say the name. 3, 2, 1.
Ted Lasso.
Lasso!
That's right. Shocker, audiences. All of us are big, big fans of Ted Lasso. I didn't think I was going to like Ted Lasso or Apple TV Plus or whatever the hell it's called. Hmm. But man, I fell for it hard, and it's become one of my comfort shows.
A friend of the Midwest, truly. Yeah. Like, yeah. He's out here like... Really,
a friend of mine,
it.
A colleague of ours said, because I'm like, I think I'm a little too invested in these characters. And she said, well, no, there are comfort characters from like when this debuted during the pandemic. They've become our comfort characters. So, normally I'd say you're an idiot. But in this case, I understand, because aside from Ted, I'm a little too invested in Roy Kent, because he's here. He's there. He's every Griffin where Roy Kent. But what does this have to do with Star Wars, aside from business with the boss?
Yeah, what does
that
do?
Well, I'll tell you. The new season is out, and they're going, it's rough, because I binged the whole first season after being dragged into it, kicking and screaming. I finally was like, so people will stop recommending it, I'll just watch it. And then, of course, I loved it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now we're going one episode per week. It's back to that.
It hurts. Mm-hmm.
It's the old thing where Caitlin binged all of the Clone Wars and then is in our shoes with week to week. Except I don't think it's really the same thing at all. Anyway, but what does it have to do with it? Because we've had 2 weeks so far of new Ted Lasso episodes. And you know what each of those episodes has had? Caitlin M. Bush.
Is it a Star Wars reference?
It is a Star Wars reference. The first episode of season two, Star Wars reference and interchange between Ted and Higgins.
Hey, may the force be with you.
And also with you.
Who? I didn't even realize Higgins played my beloved Sprat on Downton Abbey. Had no idea up until a couple days ago. I'm like, well, oh my God, he was he was Sprat. I love Sprat. Sprat watch. I don't think you are. I don't think you are. You are being so sarcastic.
Yeah. Four listeners were just like, yes, all right, Sprat! Awesome.
Well,
Sprat, yeah.
Hey, we got four. That's all I care about.
What was the second one? I thought that was
a one-off thing, but the second one, the second episode had a reference to, done by none other than Jamie Tart.
Wow, all people are so wise. They're like tall Yodas.
Yeah.
You think a character that's like, well, I can't stand, but I like him a little bit more now. Yeah. And I can't even tell you how psychologically sound that actually is. So we'll be on the watch for this. If the third episode has a Star Wars reference, we'll know that they are just putting one at every single reference.
Yeah, that's happening. Yeah.
You already think the writers of Ted Lasso have insanely good taste, like better than anybody ever. And then they put two episodes and two Star Wars references a piece. Come on. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
We know this. Switching gears, let's talk merchandising.
Merchandising.
Listener Atlantis Clovenpine, really good name, requested that this be included in points of interest. So here you go. Hot Toys has, speaking of Mandalorian Luke Skywalker, I'm sorry, Luke Skywalker from The Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian.
Mm.
There we go. Speaking of all things him, another poster. Just kidding. Not really. They released images of an upcoming piece of merchandise that they're putting out. It's a 1/6 scale of Luke Skywalker from his appearance on Mando, and it looks hot, hot, hot. Matt Romano, have you seen the pictures of this thing?
I have. And yes, this is a hot action figure. I've never bought a hot action figure, but I might have to.
Yeah. What about a Hot Toys?
A Hot Toys.
I've never bought a hot action figure. But there are some, I'm trying to think of a way this isn't going to be inappropriate. I'm coming up short. So you've never bought an action figure that you've considered to be hot, as in a turn on?
I don't know. It depends. I mean,
he's blushing so hard.
That black series. We're not there yet.
Snow trooper.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
We're not there yet. So you haven't gone in for the hot toys.
I haven't.
Caitlin and Bush, I'm assuming you haven't gone in for the hot toys.
I have not.
Well, the thing with the hot, you got to wear gloves when you pick them up because they are so hot. But they are the hot toy. If you're already a Hot Toys enthusiast, you're probably going to want this. It's probably going to be a must own. The price tags are a little hefty.
Yeah.
And also, I've got nowhere to put the damn things. That's why I haven't gone.
Yeah, that's always the problem. You know, I would love to buy all these things, but I only have so much space.
Whenever
I'm
tempted by a Black Series figure, I'm like, what am I going to put it?
I don't have space for that. As do we all.
It's like, where am I gonna put this? I'm not gonna display it. You know, what am I gonna do with it? I am gonna play with it. But anyway, I kind of want you to have this one, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, hey, and if Hot Toys, you're listening, we'll gladly take a sample and review it on the show.
We'll take three samples.
Three samples. And we don't review. Kiss.
We don't.
All
we
kiss.
Don't.
All of them will kiss.
Yeah, it'll be like a real out of room sieges moment.
Oh, now he's doing it.
No.
Yeah, no. We don't review the shows or anything like that, but we'll happily review toys.
Yeah.
Because none of us are going into the toy making business. No. Last time I checked. Now I'm going to turn it over to the Jedi Master for our next segment.
This is Obi-Wan Kenobi, and now it's time for Caitlin's Word of the Week.
The word of the week is gonky.
Good job, Caitlin. She seems to be on top of things.
Yes. Okay. I say it all the time. That's the best word ever.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I was very proud of it.
Hasn't that already been the word of the week?
Probably. I don't care.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I think it does matter.
I only started clocking what they were like these past two seasons. So there's a whole lot of words.
You're 100 words away.
Not.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. There's like 100 words out there. Yeah.
There's going to be some repeats here. I was not very well organized in all of that.
Because even though we're doing this remotely, you'd find a way to slap me in the face if whatever I would say to follow this up. So I'm not even going to dare. She's doing it with the eyes right now that I'm getting. I am not going to tempt fate. So we're just going to go right into the safety of real talk.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
All right, we got a lot of real talk.
Because
we recorded early last week, we there's a lot of real talk.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good real talk. Now I made a lot of Dune references. I make them all the time, but last week there was more than a couple. So more than one listener is asking if we're going to cover Dune at all when the first giant movie in what is planned to be a two movie event releases in a couple of months. And the truth is we don't know. Honestly, part of me doesn't want to, because I'm looking forward to just going and watching and enjoying that as a fan, as a Dune fan, as a movie fan. Just the first book of Dune alone has so much world building and myth in it that the thought of writing up notes for that fills me with dread and just really makes it sound like, oh, you're enjoying this? Well, now you're not. And so I kind of just want to go and enjoy it. So we may do something informal, like an informal reaction or something.
Let's do it live. We'll do it live or something.
We've been thinking about going back and trying to do an IG live again, but better. Wouldn't take much. we could do like a reaction thing. And it's not a review at all. Just like hear our thoughts or whatever.
Yeah, that'd be
but
fun.
I'm really looking forward to it. And if you don't have any experience with Dune, but you want to see the movie, you still have some time to read the book, to read the first book. It's one of the greatest sci-fi novels ever written, if not the greatest. It's often said to be Lord of the Rings in science fiction, and that's apt. That is, it's called that for a reason. It's very apt. Mm. A huge thank you to Kellen, who created some hilarious fan art that we posted on our Twitter, our Instagram. Right, Matt? You put it everywhere.
Yeah, I put it everywhere.
It is the classic Simpsons image of Bart Simpson writing something over and over on a blackboard that you see in every single intro of that show, except here it's a zoo writing the commercial for our store, which you now hear every episode, which we were going to take out of the show because it's Matt was like, people are getting sick of it.
Yeah. Our we got a little conscientious about it.
That people skip that part, rightfully so.
Yep.
And just so you all know, listeners, that was never meant to be the actual commercial. I had to do a pickup for some audio that was lost, and I just did that screwing around. And Matt just ended up using it. It was never meant to be the actual thing. But I thought that was really funny. It was such a good detailed piece of thing, and of course a little post-it on the back of a zoo says Caitlin is my favorite.
And there's a little thing that says
Captain's Corner.
There's a picture of Brian that says just, King under it.
Yeah, that's right. I particularly enjoyed that. So for Kellen, this must have taken you some time because it was a very well drawn Azu also.
Yeah.
And Azu himself, who we're not going to bring in because we don't want to. He's working, but he really liked it too. So you
lots
made,
of Azu love lately.
He's never had. Yeah, people. I'm like the turnaround was people like he creeps me out. I don't like him, and now people like. Is it weird that he's my favorite character? I'm like, yes, yeah, but we'll take
but,
it.
You know. You know, more power to you.
On TikTok. How about this? How's this for a turnaround?
Oh,
TikTok.
Some real talk on TikTok. User Brian with an I at the end, E-Y-E. Mm-hmm. I as in ear, nose, throat.
Got
that's
it.
That's the person's name. I'm not making a gag.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, tagged me in a post from writer Sam Maggs, a prolific writer in many areas, including games and comics. And she's on TikTok. She's on Twitter. She's here. She's there. She's every frickin' where. She wrote the latest issue of Star Wars Adventures from IDW, and she was unboxing it on TikTok, as well as a Captain Marvel comic that she wrote that was released on the same day. So she had a fun TikTok video where she was unboxing both. And a fun bit of this, because I saw this before I read the actual issue, but I since have, is that her husband worked on Jedi Fallen Order, the game, and so she thought it would be fun to include a planet from that game in this story, in her issue. So Bogano, the planet from the game, appears in that issue of Star Wars Adventures, which is really fun. And it's a really fun connection. For what it's worth, her Captain Marvel story was a lot of fun, too. I was like, I'm already reading some comics. I'll read that, too. It's really fun. She gets trapped in a video game. And it's a lot of fun. So thank you for tagging me in that. I wouldn't have seen it otherwise. Now, here we go, finally. The mystery of the Black Series First Order Snowtrooper continues and a big breakthrough on Twitter. Thanks, as always, to listener Nat Cat. Right,
yeah.
Matt?
Oh, yeah. This is huge. Yeah.
Did some digging. And indeed, they also have this figure for the same reason you do, Matt.
Yes.
Because they got it in the same gift box that you got, which includes, that's right, the Sith Eternal knit hat. Yep. It came in what is called a collector's mix mystery box, which would really be called collector's mystery box of crap, which is, I think, what you called it.
Yeah, it's not called
it. There's really nothing of any value on this.
And
I think Nat Cat would agree because it wasn't prominently displayed on a shelf.
Yeah.
It wasn't like at a place of prominence. She had to dig it up.
Right.
So if you're out there wondering if that's the only way to get a Black Series First Order Snowtrooper is to get the set, because now, like me, you want it just for the joke.
You want the knit cap.
Worry not. Well, the knit cap, I don't know how you're going to get that. But for the figure, worry not. You can get it normally without the box. I checked a few sites. And
good.
Let's just say there's no shortage.
Yeah.
But Matt, I'd say, would you call this case closed?
Case closed on this. I mean,
okay.
Hilarious box of nothing.
And I think it's hilarious that Nat Cat wound up with that figure by getting the exact same box of crap that you got.
Yes, and she like didn't open it either. It's great.
If we ever have a large like real life fan gathering or something, Nat Cat, if you're there, you gotta wear that hat.
Oh, I'll wear mine too.
That Matt Romano will wear his, and Caitlin and I will make our own.
Yeah, it'll be
only the cool people will be wearing the Sith Eternal knit hats.
The Sith Eternal.
Finally, don't say anything.
Okay.
Do not. Right. Do not. You're being sarcastic.
Remember those guys?
Okay. Shut up. You're being sarcastic and you're doing it just to push my buttons.
What do they look like? Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Finally,
go ahead. Yeah.
Push my buttons. You bite your thumb at me, sir. Well, sir, I do disparage the Sith Eternal in front of you, sir. He started it, Caitlin.
All right. We're running long here.
Finally. Oh, would you like to run longer?
Finally.
No, can't do it.
Okay, finally. Oh, all right, I'm getting to it. Based off of this new intelligence, I ran a poll on our Twitter page, as I'm wont to do. There were four choices, and as usual, my own choice did not win. This poll received 85 votes in total. Coming in dead last was Droids Season 1, Episode 5, with 15% of the vote.
Okay.
Third was Kid Matt 26.
Surprising.
With 21% of the vote.
Surprising, yeah.
Beating it by a hair with 22% of the vote was Magazine Internship, which was my choice. Yeah. It's not done yet, Caitlin.
Oh, I know.
Do you? Okay.
I do. I see the script right here.
Yeah,
we're
reading it. Yeah. It was,
way to spoil the magic. Way to just burn down the fourth wall curtain. That was obviously my choice, but they all lost. I couldn't believe this.
Wow.
With a whopping 42% of the vote, the winner was Sith Eternal Nit Cass.
Yeah, that was my choice.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
What have we learned from the results of this poll? Absolutely nothing.
Sith Eternal, a Star Wars story coming to Disney Plus.
Matt, shut your damn mouth because I.
What's happening?
Azui, just fix that. Why is that going off?
I'm reading a foreign body loose in the base.
No.
Did you guys bring someone with you on the ship when you came back?
God damn it.
Hello, and welcome back to the Fitlin Files. I am your host, Fitlin Resplena Bush. Bush like the president, not the beer. The basic bitch fell for my trap just as I knew she would. And now I am loose on Starbender base, and I have eyes on the vault and the keys. I have disabled the systems that allow the planet to fly, and am posting precise coordinates in my show notes. Any and all beings who want to get revenge on these three losers, come and get it. As for myself, I am going for the hottest take in the galaxy. Speaking of hot, today I am wearing a bespoke prisoner Kukuru's ensemble number 668. Perfect fashion for the season, as well as very useful for breaking out of faulty carbon freezing units. If you wish to infiltrate the base of your own progenitor and make them think that it was their idea all along, accept no substitutes. As always, like and subscribe, and remember, I'm just one battle over.
Oh, man.
Anything you want to say, Caitlin?
Nobody's nerfed.
Whoa, wait, whoa, whoa. Multiple signals headed our way. The Hat People, the Grand Collector, even some Hutts.
Oh, Park. Sounds like this season-long arc is ramping up to a dramatic conclusion.
Oh, man.
That's going to do it for this episode, as we have to set defenses and chase down Caitlin's clone.
Oh, no.
Again.
Oh, man.
But join us next week, where we'll continue coverage of the Bad Batch.
They call themselves the Bad Batch.
And do more of this, all this other stuff, too.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, and in the sky at Return of the Pod. You can also find us directly. Caitlin M. Bush, you can be found where?
I can be found at Caitlin M. Bush. That is C-A-I-T-L-I-N-M. Bush like the beer, not like the presidents.
Matt Romano, you can be found where?
You can find me getting real nervous about this conclusion at Matt Romano on Twitter, M-A-T-T-R-O-M-A-N-O.
And I can be found on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Brian Silliman. That's at B-R-I-A-N-S as in Sky Guy, I-L-L-I-M-A-N. Stretch out with your feelings and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. Subscribe, leave a comment, and give 5 stars if you're feeling generous. Snoke them if you got them. Take it cheevy. And remember, hope is like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night. This is the way we have spoken. Many boats for light and life. The Force will be with you. Always be the spark.